Welcome to the Fandom Podcast. This is the show that brings together geeks and nerds from across the fandomverse to analyze the news and discuss your favorite TV, movies, comics, and books. This week, we're talking about none other than the Goldilocks of the MCU, the God of Thunder, that's right, Thor Odinson. But first, please don't cut my hair. We have Nick English.
My hands aren't as steady as they used to be. All right, maybe I should talk in my normal voice so people know who it is.
Oh, maybe. No, you know, that's the whole point of this. But
if you didn't know who that was, welcome to the show, because you're obviously, this is your first episode, and we're glad you're here. I was going to be mean about it, but then I realized, yeah.
So that voice being mean that you were hearing is the God of Hammers, also known as Jeff Dumas.
Rest in peace, Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
Well, you know, it makes a difference because I've been falling here for these last 30 minutes. I'm Brandon Ushio. That was possibly one of my favorite parts of the entire movie. But we're not going to tell you any more about that because...
Really, I felt it was unnecessary. But continue.
No, we're not going to continue because we're not to the spoilers
yet. That's what I'm saying.
Yet.
Continue. Get what you need and then we'll spoil.
That's it.
Continue.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Continue with
oh, okay.
Where you want to. Because I want to say spoilers. But not okay, in the douchey
so
way that I usually do it. I want to talk.
All right. So we're talking about Thor Ragnarok this week, which is the movie that has come out and apparently the only movie that makes money this year.
Star Wars in a couple months. Their other movies will make money.
So far, it's the only movie that's made money this year.
Are you serious?
Why? What?
The only movie that has made money
okay, this
year?
Winter. This winter.
I was going to say, right? I can think of a lot of movies that probably made money, but...
Name one.
This winter. That horrible.
So after the summer box office season, there's been a lot of talk about how nobody's making money. Nobody. There's lots of articles about it online. There's lots of people who are saying, oh, no, we haven't made much money. And to be honest, we haven't had huge blockbusters like this. But so we're talking about Thor Ragnarok. Let me give you the Rotten Tomatoes movie blurb that they've got. It says, imprisoned on the other side of the universe, the mighty Thor finds himself in a deadly gladiatorial contest that pits him against the Hulk, his former ally.
Whoa, spoilers.
It was revealed in the trailer.
I know.
It was in the trailers. We're good. So Thor's quest for survival leads him in a race against time to prevent the all-powerful Hela from destroying his home and the Asgardian civilization. That is the description of this movie on Rotten Tomatoes. So far, this movie came out on November 3rd, and it was directed by Taika Waititi.
Good luck with that.
Waititi. I'm going to go with Waititi. It has made $431 million in the worldwide domestic box office, and it only cost $180 million to create.
Yeah,
so
I thought it was 177.8.
Well, I'm rounding errors. Yeah.
Really?
I don't know.
Hold on. There's
3 million. I would be okay with having that 3 million that you
there
just
are
rounded
so
up.
So many more important things about this movie than the budget right now. Okay, can we move on?
can we just note
you're right,
that this...
You're right, Jeff. The music was composed by Mark's Mothersbaugh.
It was me banging my head on the microphone.
I also want to note that this movie has the highest Rotten Tomato score of any of the MCU movies.
Yeah, right now we're sitting at 93%.
Oh, it went down. Dang it. It was at 96, and the winner is Iron Man 1 that has a 94. So now it's no longer...
Iron Man is at 94%. Iron Man 3 is at 79%.
So we need all of the fandiverse to go in and rate this movie.
Do we?
Sure.
You?
I don't know.
Look, I'm just going to say this. You and I have very different opinions of this movie.
Because maybe. You and I and all other people. Yeah, nothing?
No, okay. we're not gonna reward that behavior.
Anyway, the lowest, just so you know, is Thor the Dark World at 66%, meaning
generous.
That Ragnarok is the single greatest uptick between films of any Marvel character franchise.
I think I like Dark World more. Who said that? Where'd that come from? What the?
You are fired.
Okay. See ya.
Do we need to point out what the official Fandomverse rankings for the Marvel Cinematic Universe are?
No, because I forgot about that episode. And side note, in a couple Marvel movies, we need to do that again. Just because. Also, yes, I forgot what the rankings were. I know Thor wasn't high.
Okay, so
Thor: The Dark World was the last.
Was number 13 out of 16.
13. Oh, I thought it was.
I think
the last.
Incredible Hulk.
What was the very bottom? Oh, Hulk was the bottom.
Incredible Hulk was 16. Thor was number 15, and Iron Man 3 was number 14.
Yeah, but that's because someone had to get Iron Man 3 in there quickly, and I think that was me.
Yeah. And I had to fight for Thor not to be at the bottom.
It's true.
Yeah, that was a fight.
That's a thing we need to do again for another franchise, but I don't think there is one big enough yet.
All right. Well, okay, so let me say this. This is non-spoilery here.
Bond
I
movies.
Think that if you enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and the humor in Guardians of the Galaxy, that Thor Ragnarok would be your cup of tea.
You'd think so.
Do you guys agree?
I agree.
To a point. There is a point in the movie.
No, yes or no. I asked a yes or no question. I asked a yes or no.
No. Then I'm going to say no. This movie, there was a point in the movie where I leaned over to my friend and said, if this doesn't start taking itself seriously, I'm going to be disappointed. And there's a point. There is a spoiler to which it does.
All right. So there is.
Yeah.
So, okay. Here, it takes Guardians of the Galaxy and cranks it up and makes that one look like it's a serious
which
movie.
Which is a problem when Thor should be a serious character.
But
I don't
he?
Think you understand who Thor
I,
is.
Here's the thing.
I don't think you
there
understand
There should have been
Thor
a middle
is.
Ground between what we got.
Have you ever read a Thor comic book?
I read the first issue of the Thor that made Jane Foster Thor.
I'm not talking about Jason Aaron Thor. I am talking about Thor.
I read
Thor.
Infinity.
I'm talking about Doth Thou Mother Know That Thou Wearest
That's
Her
Avengers,
Drapes?
Not Thor. Jeez.
I know, but
don't try to
it's
don't try to pull
see,
an MCU.
That's the same character.
Thing, is it, quote on me. It's really funny because Jeff knows Thor from these movies, and then he knows it from a handful of animated films.
Correct,
right?
True. I will admit, I'll put my hand on whatever thing proves I'm telling the truth for whatever reason, based on your personal preferences. I have never long term read a Thor comic book. I think I have the Thor Generations book. Now that I think about it, I don't know why I bought it. Anyway. But yeah, I've never read a Thor comic book. I'm only thinking of this, of Chris Hemsworth's Thor. Maybe a couple cartoons like Nick said, but it was a step too far for me. What I'm saying is, it also didn't help that I didn't see it for a week. And I'm not happy about that fact, as I've said multiple times. But the fact that I hear 1,000 people, and I exaggerate for effect, say, oh my gosh, it's so good. Oh, it's finally a watchable Thor movie. I liked the first Thor movies. I thought they were fine. They were fun. They were enjoyable. But this, in my opinion, took it too far.
Okay, so
there is
here,
a point that levels out to a good pace. But the first, I don't, up to a spoiler that I don't want to say, it took a toll.
So if you don't like to be happy, if you don't like comedy, if you don't like,
you know,
I'm
starting
to
feel
you don't like joy in the
world.
I'm
starting to get really annoyed with this whole, if Jeff doesn't like something, it's because he's a prude. You know, it's starting to get hurtful. You know, I'm allowed an opinion. I'm just saying.
That's true.
And you know, here's the thing. I don't want someone to hear, I don't want someone to listen to this and hear all three of us go, man, it was amazing. It was the best movie ever made.
Okay.
And then go to it and have the same opinions as me.
Here's the thing, Jeff. I agree with you. I do. I had that same thought. You know, there might be a few too many jokes in here. And for the same reason that you are, that you're saying this was not good in these ways, I am saying it was a lot of fun because it would be really boring if we all agreed on the exact same things. Because you're right. The humor went a little too far sometimes. Yeah, at some point, it thought that it was, it took Thor and it made it a complete comedy where it maybe should have been a little bit more serious. There are some serious themes in this movie that did not get a lot of thought and attention because of all the jokes that were made. Every time that something serious started happening, a joke happened, which is kind of Marvel's MO, but it took Guardians of the Galaxy and made it look like it was serious. I agree with you. I completely agree with you on that. I think it redeemed itself by the end. I think by the end it figured out how to do it. There are some things that would have been better. But
well, it makes me wonder if they were trying to say, okay, the first act, we're going to make this really lighthearted and funny and stuff because we're going to do a little bit more serious at the end where it kind of gets death and scariness and stuff. And so maybe they were trying to give you a high before they give you a low load so that that low doesn't go as far. And it just doesn't seem like this horribly, you know, drawn out epic sadness. Right. So maybe that was a conscious decision.
Maybe. I don't know. It's still. Yeah.
So for is the Thor franchise. So an MCU property is something that they don't just give to any director. The director kind of has to prove themselves a little bit before they get that. You look at Taika Waititi's filmography, and he has done Hunt for the Wilder People, What We Do in the Shadows, and those are his only... Oh, and Boy in 2010. Eagle versus Shark in 2007. So he has not done anything other than Thor that people really know what it is.
He's done some TV. He was an actor in Green Lantern.
Right, he was an actor, but he yeah. And he's got some acting things, but still nothing huge in his acting filmography. So he directed a new.
Oh, I didn't know that. Those two shorts about Thor before Thor happened, he directed those. I didn't know that. Cool.
He did a really good job for what he had. I'm sure he had a team that helped him out with a lot of stuff, but he is not somebody who has a ton of directing under his belt like
John Favreau.
Like John Favreau. He is not like James Gunn, because even though James Gunn had never really done a lot of serious stuff, he did a lot of B-level stuff before this, he still had a lot under his belt. And, you know, Taika Waititi, he's going to make some pacing decisions.
I'm going to smile every time you try to say that name. I don't know why. It's just like,
good luck saying that, huh? So I think that I think that some of the faults in there are just simply because he doesn't know exactly what he's doing. And he's still learning. And Marvel took its least impactful, least favorite franchise in the MCU and said, hey, do something with it. If you were curious, and this one's for Jeff, Taika Waititi, he also did the voice of Korg, yeah,
he was the big rock guy.
So
I could have sworn that was Britt from the Flight of the Conchords. Like both me and Lena, when we heard him talk, we're like, is that Britt? Is that
no,
Britt?
But
and then afterwards,
Taika directed Flight of the Conchords a lot. Yeah, that was
one of his 2007 to 2009.
That's cool. But yeah, that was pretty funny. We were kind of sad, but at the same time, like, yeah, cool. That's cool.
There is a Flight of the Conchords connection, so you were close.
Yeah, there is. All right, let's stop jumping around things and dancing around things, and let's pull out our full-on spoiler alert.
You've been warned. Three, two, all right, Jeff. One. Okay. And this isn't the usual me blurting the spoiler. Odin dying was the turning point for me. Now the pace is correct. Everything up until that point was kind of like, slow down.
Odin died pretty close to the beginning.
Well, here's the thing. The Surtur thing, him spinning in the chains, the first time, oh, that's funny, okay, because, you know, he's not taking this seriously. And then they do it again, kind of. Although the opening line of Thor, Odin's son, and he goes, Surtur, son of, you're still alive? That was hilarious. I thought that was hilarious because it worked so well. I don't know how you'll edit that, but have fun with that. But then the spinning chain thing, one too many times, in my opinion. The entire Doctor Strange thing could have been cut. Like, it was, I was joking with my friends.
I was talking with my friends.
Like, the director of Thor saw that they put a Thor scene in Doctor Strange and went, crap, now I have to put Doctor Strange in my movie.
Whoa, Wait. It serves Hold on one second.
It serves zero purpose.
I'll tell you the purpose.
I don't care if it's... Oh, he showed him where Odin was.
No. Here's the purpose. In this movie, three of the founding members of the Defenders are showcased in the show.
Yes, but in the MCU, those are not the Defenders.
Yeah, but they can call them the Defenders afterwards. Like, Doctor Strange and Valkyrie and Thor are founding members of the original Defenders. And so having Doctor Strange be a part of a Thor movie is a very, very, very good thing. And a very good comic book thing. The other thing is that Doctor Strange was never given his due in his movie. So this is the Doctor Strange in the comic books. The weirdo guy that just pops up in the middle of stuff and says, I'm here to help. And they're like, I don't know how to handle you because this is all mystic and weird. And he helps them and then he just disappears. Like, that is like Doctor Strange's MO. And so we were finally able to see true Doctor Strange in the MCU. And
think about that's what I love about it. Think about how it was a Thor movie. In my opinion, they needed that before
we go into Infinity Gauntlet, because if he just pops up and then all of a sudden he's like the most powerful magician ever, because he wasn't by the end of the movie. Now he's had time. Now we have seen that he has evolved. We've seen that he's grown. And so now it won't be so foreign and odd, and we won't be saying, oh my gosh, why is all of a sudden Doctor Strange so powerful when he pops up and is just like,
it's
dominating during the Infinity.
Think about how much power it takes to control Loki the way that he did.
He opened up two, technically, to get him in and get him out of wherever he was falling from. But still, in my opinion, the Doctor Strange scene was forced. Was a forced laugh, was forced comedy, they didn't need to jump him around the house 1,000 times.
So you guys have brought up my one pet peeve that I've had with so many Marvel movies.
It's that they don't
seem to care.
And it's
the fact that a standalone movie is never a standalone movie. And so we have Thor in this movie, and you bring in Doctor Strange. I enjoyed the Doctor Strange part, but that's because Doctor Strange is one of my favorite characters, because that was truly a standalone film. However, I can get why Jeff was saying it didn't do anything.
Honestly, he plays a jerk so easily, it makes me worried to ever meet him in real life. Because, like, this comes way too naturally for you to be a charming person.
Yeah, I've seen some interviews with him, and he plays the charming person really well, too. So maybe he's, I don't know.
I don't think I've ever seen Cumberbatch in a role where he has a redeeming quality throughout the whole movie.
So,
I don't know. Zoolander 2, he was pretty amazing.
Like I said, I have never seen Cumberbatch in a role.
No, he was ridiculous in that movie. It was really weird.
So here we are. We've got Thor, who has Doctor Strange in it. It's also got Loki in it, because Loki, I mean, granted, Loki belongs with Thor, but you've got Valkyrie. You have the Hulk. You have the Game Master. Grandmaster, thank you. You have all these other characters that have parts in the greater MCU. Give me a Thor story. Just give me a story.
They tried giving you Thor stories. They tried twice, and they were terrible.
No,
they were not great.
The first one was great.
Strong words.
Mainly because when it came out, how were they freaking going to introduce Asgardians? Like, we had never seen anything like that. And so they did it in the one way that they possibly could. Show them for a little while, put them on Earth, then have them go back so that we can kind of get a feel for it. If they would have done, like, a movie like this, like, right away, it would have, like, people would have just been freaking out, and I don't think we'd be where we are. Like, they had to strategically, like, warm people up to the oddities that are Guardians of the Galaxy and aliens and, you know, other realms and stuff. Like the common public were not ready for that, and so they were trying to appeal to a broader audience. Now we're prepared for that. We've had two Guardians movies, you know, we've had all of this stuff. Now we can digest that it's not just humans with superpowers or a guy in a robot suit that is super smart and can build something to fight off people. And so I feel like they gave us a Thor movie. The second one really was as Thor as you could get. Like, I mean, we weren't on Earth hardly at all in that one. And it, you know, I mean, everybody talks about how they don't like that movie.
My big problem with that movie was call the Avengers. If you fail, reality will end. Call the event. That's my big problem with that movie. All the other standalones after Avengers was just like, they can handle it. This is their problem. But it's like, if you fail, everyone dies. Call the Avengers. Anyway.
And I totally get that, like, this movie is a mashup of, like, four stories in the comic book universe that are all related to the characters that they are, and then kind of mishmashing them together. Because the Game Master is not any part of Planet Hulk. But it was really easy to bring him in because there's a whole run of the Conquest of Champions, I think it's called, with the Game Master, where he pits people against each other. And then World War Hulk, or Planet Hulk, it was really easy just to put it in there. Because they have the whole revolution thing. Like, that's part of Planet Hulk with you know, the little Mantis guy and all that. Like, that's an integral part of that. I wish that they would have done a little more with the revolt or the revolution. I mean, it just kind of seemed like, oh, yep, let's do this.
We printed more pamphlets.
Yeah. But, I mean, I get it. I get why they did it the way they did. And then even that is now cookie-cuttered into... You know, they've had like, what, three or four Ragnaroks now in Thor? And so they just had to figure out how Ragnarok was going to happen.
So,
you know?
Sorry for laughing. I'm looking at the cast, and the guy who played actor Thor is Luke Hemsworth.
Yeah, it's his brother.
I didn't know that. Continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That was fine.
Yeah, that's funny. So I feel like they did a good job of molding these stories together to create something that everybody's been asking for. Because, I mean, soon as the Hulk went off on his Quinjet, everyone was like, oh my gosh, we're gonna get Planet Hulk and blah blah blah, and you know, world, you know, blah blah blah. And it was
except
like,
you never will.
Okay, well, yeah, the people want that, and this is what we're planning for, but
you can't do a solo Hulk
this
movie.
This movie proved to me that I do not want a single Hulk movie. Like, I think Hulk was the weakest thing in this show. Like, he was fun, but he had way too much dialogue, and I thought his dialogue was not good.
It was too
and
stupid,
it wasn't,
too.
Yeah, and it was stupid, and it just didn't work. Like,
it was not Planet Hulk, like, here is our leader, smart guy. It was just...
Well, he didn't want to. Hulk wanted to stay. Hulk wanted to stay and be a gladiator, because he was good at it, and he got to do everything.
Yeah, and he got to fight all the time, and he just kind of got to hang out, and, you know, he was happy, and then it was... You know, the struggle. And, you know, I mean, we got the struggle between Banner and Hulk, and that's a continuing theme. There's times when Hulk is a little bit more intelligent and he pulls from Banner's intelligence and he stays the Hulk for a lot longer. And so we got a little bit of that play. We got a little bit of that, like, you know, lore as far as Hulk goes. But I have to agree with Jeff, you know, in the fact that when I was watching that first scene and that first part, I was like, this is really cool, but the Hulk is talking too much. And I know that he needs to talk because there's no one else to talk to, but it was a little weird to me. Like,
they couldn't have made him just and grunting. That would have made him know Hulk's more intelligent than that. And, you know, they established Hulk's been Hulk since Age of Ultron. You know, it's been 2 years since Banner has made an appearance. And so he just had like a few too many dialogue, you know.
It was odd. And I mean, there were a lot of jokes that just hit home. Like, I was just like, yes, that is a homage to older shows, you know, fan service, whatever. There were little dialogues and quibs that came from comics and stuff that, like, I really enjoyed. I think that once, like, it might have just been a little too long. And I guess they had to establish Valkyrie. And Valkyrie has such a weird history. Like, I mean, her true story is that she's actually like Loki's daughter
No, that's Hela. Hela is Loki's
daughter. Oh, that's
Hela.
That's right. So, yeah, Valkyrie,
it's very
convoluted.
And so is the Dire Wolf. Loki's son. I mean, just weird family relationships there, I guess.
I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in Asgardian family stuff. But Valkyrie, I do have to do one nit on her. I loved the way she portrayed Valkyrie. I loved the actress. I loved everything she did.
Can I guess what the nit is?
What is it?
The costume. There was something exactly about the costume that did not look right. I can't tell you what it was. It just
her actual Valkyrie costume her pre-Valkyrie?
Yeah, the blue one. The pre-Valkyrie was great. Okay. And I think that if they would have done pre-Valkyrie and they would have just done like armor across the chest and then like stuff, but they like pieced it together and it just looked really like odd. Like it wouldn't even work. And if you look at Valkyrie in the comics, you get why they didn't choose that costume. I mean, it's obvious that that's not how you want to portray, because she's basically just got two cones protecting herself that are metal, and then the rest of it's just cloth, and she's got like bracers on. And so that's not how you want to do it. But they easily could have done like a Captain Phasma type thing where they just put armor across her, you know, or some sort of breastplate, and then just had blue below and stuff. But it was just really weird. Like, I just didn't like the design. And I mentioned it to Lena, and she said, well, I get it, because it's kind of like some of the armor that they've done. It's Asgardian, and so it's weird. But I'm like, yeah, but if you look at the other armor, and even Thor's new armor that doesn't have the dots on it, it just has the dots on the top, like, it still is put together. And so why is hers in pieces? Yeah, it was weird. And I wish she would have at least put a helmet on once, because we did get that from Thor.
Yeah, you know, and we did, and that battle was really cool. You know, I found it really odd that the costume just, I can't tell you what it was. It's just something did not hit me right with Valkyrie's costume, but they put so much thought into other parts of the costuming in the show. So like Banner. So when Hulk becomes Banner again and borrows Tony Stark's clothes, he is wearing a shirt on it that has an album cover of Duran Duran's album Rio. And one of the singles on that is a song called Hungry Like the Wolf, which foreshadows the Hulk and the Dire Wolf's battle. Now, the reason that I noticed this and the reason that I went out and looking for this was because I remembered some set photos from earlier on where that shirt was just a purple square. And so I didn't recognize the cover. And so I was like, well, what's this cover? Or I didn't recognize the art on it. So I'm like, why did they post-process put in art onto this purple square? And I'm imagining they were still getting licensing rights or whatever to use that image. And so if you're going to put all of that thought into what Bruce Banner's wearing to foreshadow who the Hulk's going to fight, that costume just didn't feel completely all put together.
I mean, Scourge was like dead on.
Yeah, Scourge was like right out of the comics.
Yeah, and even Helena was, because she's always had that weird like thing on her head, like headdress,
murder helmet.
Like murder helmet. Yeah. And like Scourge, he looked so good. Like, he was just awesome. And even the Grandmaster looked phenomenal. And so that was the one misfire for me. And even like the Hulk, when he's wearing his big like necklace, beaded necklace and stuff, like that's straight out of like comics. Like, I mean, they took most of this stuff and just tweaked it just a little bit, but like made it all work and it looked really good. But yeah, like even, I mean, his armor looked like the Planet Hulk armor. Like, he has the like Trojan helmet and the one.
Oh, I remember when they put that out thing. Was it D23 Expo? When they put that out and everyone lost their mind because,
yeah,
oh my gosh, we're going to get this. And it wasn't what people wanted, I don't think, but it was close. It would have been amazing if we had lived in a world where the Hulk being part of that was just a twist that we didn't actually know was coming.
It would have been amazing.
The way that the way that the internet works and crediting works, there was no way to keep it a secret. So you might as well make that part of your marketing.
It's kind of hard to talk about majority of the movie without telling us that. You know, you couldn't make any previews. How many previews had Hulk and Thor together? You know, you can't do it. That sucks.
I was just thinking of some other things that were really good, like directly from the comics, or that reminded me of things. So like one of the things is the actual armor that Thor wears when he's fighting the Hulk. He has like a big mace like thing, like mace. And that reminded me a lot of Hercules's mace. So the character from that fights with Thor all the time has like a big mace that looks just like that. It's got so like that was cool to me. I mean, he has and then also like when he gets his hair cut, that's from Unworthy Thor, the comics Unworthy Thor. So like that I mean, they took so many things from the comics that were just like spot on, and it just kind of seemed like Valkyrie might have been the one thing they just misfired on.
Well, not even her character, just the last costume that she was wearing. The scrapper costume was great. I thought she was awesome in that.
So let's talk about the tower, because there were some Easter eggs on that tower. When you first see the Grandmaster's tower, there is like the Mount Rushmore of his champions, and I noticed a few things about this.
I noticed tower. A certain equine-faced worthy challenger on there. Is that what you noticed?
That was one of them, but there was a few more too. So each of those characters, so I noticed four of them, and then with a little more research, the other ones I was able to find out what they were. But the first one is Beta Ray Bill. Beta Ray Bill is actually the person that he fights in the comic books in Planet, or no, not in the comics. In the comics, he fights the Silver Surfer, not Thor. And in the animated cartoon, he fights Beta Ray Bill. Beta Ray Bill is a awesome character in the MCU. If you do not know who he is, he dresses just like Thor because he is one of the one characters in the MCU that was able to hold Mjolnir and was worthy of it. And so he picks it up and Thor's like, what?
There's,
you know, it's kind of like
in Guardians of the Galaxy, in the scene where he's singing along to Come and Get Your Love, there's a skeleton, which James Gunn has confirmed is Beta Ray Bill's people. The horse faced
cool.
People.
And I think that's part of his story, is that
the story I know is Beta Ray
his
Bill
race is that
was on the run from his people were on the run from Surtur, and he was chosen to defend the ship, the Ark essentially that had all his people on it. Yeah, he was chosen to defend the ship until they found a new home. And Thor comes across it, and Beta Ray Bill picks up Mjolnir at the exact same time. Odin's like, I summon the wielder of Mjolnir, and Beta Ray Bill shows up and just abandons Thor in the middle of space. This all happened in the Avengers Assemble cartoon, which is amazing. But yeah, Beta Ray Bill is a fun character.
So yeah, and so because of that, Odin actually gives him a Mjolnir, but they call it like wind Stormbreaker. That's right. And so he's kind of got the same powers as him and stuff. So he's just a really cool character. So I love that they're at least paying a little homage to him. But some of the other characters, did you guys recognize any of the other ones?
So there was the only one that I recognized other than that when I was in the movie was Ares, and that's because his helmet's kind of iconic.
Yeah.
They
brought in Ares. Who is exactly the same thing. Like, pretty much, it's Marvel's version of the God of War. We saw that in Wonder Woman.
Ares is considered public domain, right? That's
Yes, it is.
Or it's the ultimate crossover between Marvel and DC.
So another one that crosses over a lot is, and I'm saying this correctly, the Man Thing. So the Man Thing is like the Swamp Thing kind of
I think I'm going to have thing. To edit that out. Man Thing, that doesn't sound very clean.
Oh, from the comic book Giant Size Man Thing?
Yeah, the first appearance of him is giant sized man thing. So
thank you, Nerddome, for that joke.
Yeah, so he's also there. And then the two-faced guy, he's a Thor villain that I recognized.
Two-Face?
And his name is Bi-Beast. And he's just kind of a guy with two faces, and he fights Thor a lot. He's a Hulk baddie too, so that makes sense because they bring them both in. And then the other two, I didn't see this one, but people are saying that Fing Fang Foom was on there. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that one.
That might be a stretch if it's on there.
It's on the back that we didn't never see, but it's there. I swear it is.
So, yeah, I didn't see that. So I want to see it the next time. And then there's also another guy that's like a small, his name is a Hulk villain that's known as Darkcrawler. And he's just got this weird helmet. And so that's what made, probably, that's why he was on there. It's like, oh, well, this is a weird looking helmet. Let's put him in. And they were the bottom two. So apparently Fing Fang Foom is at the very bottom of the totem pole or the tower. So I am definitely looking for that next time I see it. So that's pretty awesome. There's a lot of little nods there. Did you guys notice the Loki reference to Frog?
Oh, the frog Thor. Yeah, there was that time you turned me into a frog, and that was hilarious.
Yeah, good old Matt Damon.
Yeah, okay, so there was... So Matt Damon played Loki in the Death of Loki that they were doing. Did you catch that one?
I didn't notice it until my friend leaned over and said, and Matt Damon wins an Oscar. And I'm looking like, that's not Matt Damon. And when they're taking their bows, I go, oh, it is. That's totally Matt Damon. and
then, Lena and I recognized him immediately.
And also Sam Neill played Odin.
Yeah. And Sam Neill, I want to say he is still uncredited on IMDb for that. They wanted that to be a fun Easter egg.
He might be credited now.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, he's credited now. He was not credited before. Before the show came.
They are actor Thor, actor Odin, actor Sif, and actor Loki.
Yeah, that was funny. It makes you wonder if it's just Loki, like, in his brilliance, like, making somebody look like Matt Damon, or if he, like, uses his mind powers to bring Matt Damon to Asgard and have him act for him in his play just because. Like, I like to think that Loki actually took the actors from Earth and then made them do a play.
Oh, you
for
like
him
to think that this is
that's awesome.
This is Matt Damon playing himself playing Loki. That'd be fun.
Yeah. I like it. Isn't there another show, and I don't think it's MCU, where Matt Damon plays somebody else, like acting as somebody else
in an
on-screen version of something? I can't think of what it is, and I know there's somebody like,
I know,
yelling at me, oh, it's this movie.
I know Bruce Willis plays himself and he thinks that in Ocean's 12, he plays himself, and Tess, who is Julia Roberts, plays Julia Roberts.
That's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of a movie where they go and see a movie about themselves, like they're spies or something, and Matt Damon plays the lead character playing the act, like in the movie, and they like, oh, that, you know.
Okay, so that is, I can't remember that, what, right there is the probably the something that we are going to have to hear back from the fans, because that's a deep cut, Nick. I am not sure.
It has to be in the like last five years, like 10, like this is a recent movie. I'm gonna bow out for a second. I'm gonna try to figure out what it is.
All right, can we talk for a second about how amazing Anthony Hopkins playing Odin, playing Loki, playing Odin is?
That was pretty good. Oh,
like can you just imagine the direction that he? All right, Anthony Hopkins, we want you to be dressed as Odin, but you're playing
now. You're Loki
as Tom Hiddleston.
But you're also still Odin.
Because not only is he Loki, he picked up Tom Hiddleston's mannerisms playing Loki.
Ah.
So I thought that was, I was like, that could not just be any more perfect. That was awesome.
I do think it's also funny, Anthony Hopkins, even though for a second he's playing Loki, he's still only billed as Odin, not Odin slash Loki.
Right?
Sometimes they do that when they have to do for weird billing reasons or whatever.
Yeah.
I do think it's funny that the second Surtur says, Odin's not on the throne. What are you talking about? There's a look in Thor's eyes like, he's not, is he?
Huh. Oh, crap.
That whole reveal of, you know, there's nothing that will stop Mjolnir from returning to my hand, even your head. And he puts his head right behind. Oh, that was a great moment. The whole destruction of Mjolnir, had that not been revealed in the trailers? I mean, again, it's kind of hard to be like,
oh, I didn't know that. I didn't watch that trailer.
Oh, that the very first trailer is the scene where he throws the hammer at Hela, except they're in like an alleyway. They're on Earth for some reason in the first trailer. It's weird. Depending on the trailer you see, he's either in the field, what happened in the movie, or they're on Earth. Either way, there was just a big love letter to Mjolnir throughout the first, up until its destruction. It's just like, yeah, I can do anything with this hammer. Look at it fly around. Look at me playing catch with myself.
So you rode the hammer.
No,
rode you?
It seems like you and this hammer had some sort of, if I could do the line justice, I would have said it just now. But anyway, I told my friend, like, you know, this is going to make it that much more sad when Mjolnir is destroyed. And he said, yeah, that's the point. I'm like, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
I mean, so that first fight scene where he's breaking out from being Surtur's prisoner, uh-huh, and he just drops Mjolnir in that big monster's mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And it just thunk and it pulls him down to the ground. That was the inner comic book nerd in me loved that.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to, you know, if Thor needs to stop someone, just leave the hammer on them. Wait here.
Yeah, pretty much. I loved the fact that I loved Cate Blanchett in this movie.
Hela, oh, she was just really good.
She completely stole the scene in every scene that she was in. And I get so Thor, I feel like, has the scariest opening scene out of any Marvel movie, or Thor Ragnarok has the scariest opening scene out of any Marvel movie, period.
Of him just chained up in a cage with a skeleton?
And then the fight scene and, the big monster there. I think, like, that could have been terrifying if they had chosen different music and left out the jokes.
Yeah. That song was really perfect for...
Yeah.
That was reminiscent of Guardians.
It really was. And Hela, she is one of the scariest villains that we have had in any of the Marvel movies, because she just straight up kills people. Like, full-on slaughters
them. That was kind of something. The three super anticlimactic deaths.
Warriors 3?
Well, no, I think, the third warrior, he had a fight. He fought, at least. Like, Odin just kind of like, no, you guys are good, right? I'm out. And poof. Literally,
yeah,
poof.
Yeah.
And then the two, Ray Stevens and Zachary Levi's characters, whose name I...
Volstagg and Fandral.
Thank you. Those two just kind of like, can we help you? Dead. Like, no, like, these are characters. Like, you can't.
That goes on to explain why Zachary Levi is now cast in a DC property.
His schedule, his calendar opened up. Is that what you're saying?
he's not tied to Marvel anymore.
I'd laugh to be on set. He's like, so I'm dead. I'm done. Yeah, yeah, you're good. All right, Shazam! And then just. Well,
I like it.
My,
yeah, I
off
like
to my
it.
Next paycheck. Speaking of Shazam, they're claiming that the Rock is going to make an appearance in Suicide Squad 2. That'd be interesting. Anyway, Thor. Yeah, super. And the third warrior, the Hogan. I want to be racist and say the Asian guy, but, you know, that's not racist. It's descriptive.
That's not racist. Hogan, yeah, his name's Hogan.
I am never racist. That's your guys' job. Yeah.
I'm white. I'm never racist.
He had, your words, not mine. He had a fight, at least, along with all the warriors of Asgard. Like, they at least fought her. Yeah, they died easily. But he stood up to her instead of just being taken out like a punk.
Well, and I think that also established how ruthless she was.
Yeah.
And so I think that was needed. Like, I think it was okay for her to do that, because it's like, we've seen these.
Needed or not, doesn't take the people, climax out of it. It's like,
I thought it had way more impact than if they would have had a fight and died.
I wanted them to try to defend themselves. In a lot of ways. But it was just kind of like, oh, and you're dead.
they didn't know who they were dealing with. And I think that that was kind of the point. It was like, who is this person that we just, because, you know, they had scrubbed her from the history books. And that's very well established. And so I think that, like, that's exactly what would have happened. Like, they're just kind of like, whoa, who is this? And then it's like, oh, my gosh, she just killed me. Like they're not going to be on their guard until they can assess the threat. That is a good question, and I'll tell you the story. She said the reason why she wasn't in this movie is because there was scheduling conflicts with that show that she's on with
Blindside or Blind Spot or something like that.
Yeah, Blind Spot, and they just couldn't get it to work, and so that's why she's not in the movie.
So her character lived because she already had a paycheck. It's the same reason what's-his-face from Star Wars survived. I'm not reading the death line. Are you crazy? All right, I guess he doesn't die.
Who was that?
The guy from from Heroes, who was in Star Wars Episode 7.
Matt Partman, Porkins Jr.
Porkins Jr. as they've been calling him. He came to Comic-Con. He told the story like every one of those X-wing pilots filmed a death line. I'm hit. I'm going down. Oh no! All the humanity.
He's the guy that's the friend of J.J. Abrams. He, and that's why he's in every show that he's in. He was the guy that could read minds in Heroes. Yeah, yes. He's an alias.
And
yeah,
he just flat out said to the second unit director, I'm not reading that. No, I'm not reading that. And they told JJ, and he's like, all right, I guess he lives.
That's awesome. Okay, so we can agree that Thor makes the best villains in MCU, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, by far. Like, okay, so here's the thing. Like, Hela, I wanted her. She brought up some really, like, deep and cool thoughts about society and civilization. About the whole fact that, you know, Odin, the only reason that Odin is able to have Asgard be as powerful as it is now is because he did some shady stuff in the past. And it's really easy to plaster over that with a new mural and act like everything's all better. But yeah, there's
that was pretty cool.
Some dark things in the past, and it's important to remember those. And I think that just kind of got brushed by with a lot of people because there was some joke made at some point because it was Thor and there were 9 billion jokes. I think that would have been really cool.
They're claiming that 80% of the dialogue was improvised.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Which is not a thing you want to... Which actually, in my opinion, is not something you should be proud of.
So, I mean, I think that this could be much more than just a fun popcorn flick, which is what I think it is now. It's just, it's fun. It's a popcorn flick. You sit there, watch it. You have a good time. I think it'd be so much more if we could look at this and be like, hey, look, Asgard, it had some things in its past too. Like with the whole Make America Great thing again lately that we're dealing with and the whole, oh, it was better back in the 50s. Well, yeah, that's because you're white and you were in control and you could segregate
That was my joke for the longest time was, so how you feel about the political climate? I'm a straight white male. I think I'll be okay. Anytime I wanted to not talk about politics, that was my go-to line. Like, I'm a straight white male.
And you weren't wrong.
I think I'll be okay. I'm a straight white male.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think there were some themes that were left unexplored because there were just too many jokes made. So do you remember when I read the film critic review about Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
About how they couldn't take it seriously?
Yeah, how they were just so upset. The guy's name was David Edelstein, and he's the guy who does the NPR stuff. He also does Vulture. David Edelstein said about this, Comic-Con nerds might well find the movie too unself-serious to get behind, and actually that's the reason I liked it, is because it finally acknowledged that it's kind of a ridiculous concept. Preferring the deep and ethical musings of Civil War. This one is probably my favorite, being the most unlike the others. Okay, so I don't need the deep ethical musings.
I don't think that it's I don't think... I don't get that.
None of that made sense. None of what he
based
said.
Based on other stuff
it's
that
like,
he said.
You guys really liked Civil War, and that was like a political drama. How come you guys aren't having the same reaction to Ragnarok? Or how come you guys like Ragnarok? What... Well, does this guy and this guy's job is to review movies?
Yes, what? For like major outlets.
You know what? Hey, and that's why you find a reviewer whose opinion match yours, and you don't listen to anyone else. I don't remember.
It makes me wonder if a lot of the times You know, and maybe the reason why this reviewer specifically, I'm just giving him the benefit of the doubt here. He looks at the political climate currently and he says, we didn't need one of those right now. We needed something that we could forget about the world for a second. And then when that, when Civil War came out, it was in the heat of, you know, the political climate of when we didn't have a president and we were going to choose one. And it was like, we need to take a deep look at ourselves and think of who we really want leading us. And so I wonder if that's why he's being wishy-washy.
And maybe. And I
He could just have superhero fatigue. And he's just like, oh, no, they're all these stupid movies. All right, fine.
This is a guy who really likes artsy-fartsy stuff. I happen to be hear his reviews a lot, just simply because he does a lot of reviews for places that for news stories that I listen to. But I almost never agree with him. I usually find the exact opposite of him.
You know, you don't have to see everything. One of my favorite reviews of a movie.
You're a critic, you kind
of
do.
Well, one of my favorite reviews of a movie was from Leonard Maltin, and he said the headline was "Why I Walked Out of Zoolander 2." And it was essentially saying, "I don't need to be insulted like this anymore." And it was like a retrospective of if I'm not even going to bother seeing the movie, some of these movies anymore type things. I might be misquoting him, but the headline was definitely "Why I Walked Out of Zoolander 2." So it's just kind of like, yeah, you know, you can't, if someone's really looking for your review of Thor and you don't want to see it, just say that, hey, it doesn't appeal to me. My opinion is not going to make you want to see it or make you just want to see it. At this point, Marvel has its viewers. Marvel doesn't need interviews.
So if we were to put a review from the Fandom Podcast out there about this, would we say something along the lines of, it is a fun superhero movie that has a few pacing issues, but overall resolves itself and is a lot of fun to watch with Easter eggs for the comic book diehards?
Absolutely.
Is that kind of what we've been saying?
That. You know, as long as we
I would say it ranks very high on the list of the movies. Like, I mean, I would put it in the top half.
It's the best Thor movie we got all year.
I mean, it's hard to fault it in a lot of ways. I mean, we faulted a lot of things right off the bat.
But that's because it has a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. And if we just came out and said we loved it, then what are we adding to the conversation?
Well, and I loved the majority of this movie. Like I said, the only thing that really irked me was the costume and that I thought that Hulk had too much dialogue. And other than that, I just loved the ride. I laughed.
So,
I thought about the world. I loved the villain. I loved Idris Elba.
Elba's always great.
Like, I just loved the movie, and then it ended, and Thanos' ship shows up, and I'm like, let's go into Infinity War. I'm ready. Like,
I had a couple continuity errors. MCU continuity, not within Ragnarok. I'm not going to be that picky because I didn't catch any. In Avengers, Bruce Banner establishes that he can just turn into Hulk. He can just be like, I'm always angry. And boom, he's Hulk. Him jumping out of the plane and landing on his face.
He spent years as Hulk, though. Like, I took that as I'm out of practice of this.
But it's still like, if your claim to fame is, I'm always angry, and then he turns into Hulk, you'd think he'd be able to be like, hey, Valkyrie, check this out. And he'd just start growing into Hulk.
He was going to be more dramatic because he was kind of flirting with Valkyrie.
He could have, but neither of them knew that, though. Banner didn't remember that they flirted as Hulk, and she didn't know he was the Hulk.
But he was still kind of flirting a little bit.
I know. The other thing that I might be wrong about was, couldn't Odin's staff turn on the Bifrost? Like, I was going to watch the first Thor movie before doing this to check on that.
It turned into gold floaty dust.
I know, but I mean, is that just mean Odin can put whatever he wants into the Bifrost to activate it? Or because it's Odin? Or that's what that was something that bugged me, was we need the sword to turn on the Bifrost. Well, I could have swore the staff could do it, but
they did fix a couple other continuity errors, though. So, like, in the first Thor movie, you see the Infinity Gauntlet in.
Yeah,
in
that was awesome.
Hilarious.
In the vault, and this one fake. Interesting.
Tesseract's real.
Yeah.
Well, we knew the Tesseract was there.
So very clearly, we know that Odin, or we know that Loki took the Tesseract.
Yeah, that's how me and my friends think that he got out of the explosion. He used the Tesseract.
That makes sense.
Well, and now we know that Thanos is going to go get it.
Well, there's
we knew Thanos was going to
get it. Okay, so if you're a trailer adverse, there's some spoilers in the trailer about how Thanos gets the Tesseract.
What trailer?
Wait, in the trailer for Infinity War?
It was in the San Diego Comic-Con one that I watched bootlegged over.
I don't watch bootleg trailers. I'm not a monster.
Well, I am, so.
Hey, I finally saw the Star Wars trailer, and that was awesome. Anyway.
I plugged my ears and hummed.
I don't think the spoilers were there. The spoilers are only there if you're the kind who take the trailer frame by frame to figure it out.
There was a lot of stuff that made me go, I'm not going to say anything like word for word, but there's a lot of stuff that went, huh.
I've got theories now.
I wonder where they're going with that. Or, hey, she's finally doing
something. If you guys
want
to talk about it, I will watch it.
No, we're good.
If you watch it, we'll talk about it, but let it be your decision. We're not going to force you.
Right. Okay. Let me point out this one last thing that I was I'm kind of confused about. Where is the Infinity Stone? There was no Infinity Stone. And I was so sure that Kella was going to have it in her headdress because she was raising people from the dead. And that's what the Soul Stone or.
So what movies do we have between this and Infinity War?
Black Panther.
It's got to be in Black Panther.
So it's going to be in Black Panther somewhere. You know, is this how they are able to commune with their ancestors?
We're kind of overlooking the idea of maybe Thanos just already has it. I mean, he had the mind
stone. Yeah, but that'd be boring. That'd be boring.
He had the mind stone before he gave it to Loki.
You got to put it in something. Yeah, I know, but then now we know where it is. I think it's going to be in Black Panther.
Okay.
Because it'll give it way more, and maybe like that's what Man Ape.
Are they actually like doing Man Ape?
That's the character. I don't know if they're going to call him that. They'll probably call him by his real name, and then somebody will be like, "Yeah, you're a Man Ape.
You're a real Man Ape."
And be like, "I'm not. I'm not that.
My name is not Cottonmouth." Oh, sorry.
Wrong. This is just ridiculous. Yeah, or what?
You know, we'll do something like that. That's what I'm assuming.
Let's find out. To IMDb.
Okay, so what I want to hear from the fans then is where their theories are about the Infinity Stones. Where are the Infinity Stones? Where is the last Infinity Stone?
It's with James Brown. Jeez.
Thank you. last year about this time, actually it was last year on Thanksgiving. I released this Thanksgiving Day. I did a quick, like, here are where all the Infinity Stones episode are. It was like 15 minutes. And I made the prediction, Hela's going to have this because she's raising people from the dead, and that's how they're going to do this.
Was Ragnarok announced?
Yes, it was.
Did we have enough information?
That's what I did last year, and so I was clearly wrong. I want your theories, and we can revamp. Maybe we can do a new episode on Thanksgiving Day where I can just cut out do a record scratch and be like, that's what I thought.
Well, when I saw Guardians Volume 2, as soon as Ego said, "Oh, the light at the center of my planet," I immediately thought, "Oh, there's the last one. There it is." No, I wasn't there either. Yeah. So right now we know where they all are, right? Except for Soul. So the Tesseract is with Loki, assumingly.
It was on Ragnarok.
Or burning on Asgard.
Did he steal it? Oh, okay. So that's how he escaped. Okay, yeah. I got you.
No. The Collector has the ether, maybe. Unless something happened in the explosion.
Which is the brother of the Game Master.
Yeah, Grand Master.
That one.
You guys keep calling him the Game Master. Grand Master. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, quick note, too much gold boom. Anyway, Infinity Stones.
No way, dude. No
too
way.
Too much
he was
gold
great.
Bloom.
No way. No
gold
way.
Bloom was just gold bloom. They were too... like, here, read these lines from the script. Thanks, you don't need to do anything else because
too much gold
just
bloom.
Be you. At the same time, I feel like Loki got neutered a little bit. Like he was there for comic relief. He didn't do anything really cool.
Loki's always there for comic relief.
But like the part where like he sees the Hulk and he starts freaking out, I didn't love that.
That's what it feels like.
I thought that's what it feels like was funny, and the immediate I need to get off this planet.
But that like when he's cowering in the corner, I didn't love that.
Well, it's because like, oh crap, there's another person who can who can blow my cover type deal. That or he's the only Thor or Hulk is the only person who beat up Loki physically and left him in actual pain. And so wouldn't you be like, oh, if you're Superman, like, oh, there's kryptonite. I need to be scared now. Wouldn't you? Like, so, yes, Hulk is Loki's kryptonite. That is what I'm trying to say.
Well, and I like that they're bringing him down a peg, you know, because, I mean, that's kind of always been the thing about Loki is that he's like, I am the greatest. And then he always gets like brought down.
Well, now that he's brought down a peg, I wonder if they tried to make him a good guy because everyone loves Tom Hiddleston.
Well, he kind of goes back and forth. Like, I mean, even in this movie, they showed, oh, he's going to be good. But then, like, Thor knows that he's going to betray him.
I think
and
he's
then
going to
Thor,
be,
you know.
Like, look, I think what's going to be is, like, look, Loki's on our side, but keep an eye on him, man. He's still freaking Loki. I mean, remember the Chitauri, the aliens? Yeah, that was still him, but so keep an eye on him.
All right. Well,
yeah.
I think this is probably where we need to wrap up. So we've had some fun discussion about Thor. Overall, we liked it. We found nits to pick, like we always do. But we liked it overall.
I want to say one more thing. There was so much awesome Kirby stuff in this, like homage to Jack Kirby drawing.
But yeah, the whole Grandmaster crazy.
Yeah, like even behind him, there was like literally framed like Kirby drawing behind it in real life. It's awesome. Anyway. Continue. I just wanted to throw that in.
All right. So yeah, it's really nice to see Marvel giving Kirby the due, like Doctor Strange and here in Thor. So all right, we're gonna wrap this up here. So if you enjoyed what you heard, head over to patreon.com/fandompodcast and let's create a community of fans over there that where we can talk about this some more. If you can't afford that dollar a month right now, we get it. You can send your feedback, what you thought about Thor Ragnarok, to feedback@fandompodcast.com. You can like our page on Facebook at facebook.com/fandompodcast. You can tweet to us on Twitter @fandomcast. And if you want to help support the show, we have some ways that you can do that. You can use affiliate links, aside from Patreon, obviously. You can use the affiliate links of, we've got our fandompodcast.com/audible. You get 2 free audiobooks. Great way to kind of escape. There's the third book in the Stormlight Archives by Brandon Sanderson coming out this week, and it's 55 hours long. And the first two are like 45 each as well. I've powered through those in the past 2 weeks.
I would suggest from a certain point of view. If we're suggesting.
From a certain point of view, the Star Wars stories.
Yeah, the 40 stories from Star Wars. Most of them are really good.
And here's the thing. There's 2 credits, so you can do that. So you can do Stormlight Archives and with the third one's Oathbringer, so you can do Oathbringer and From a Certain Point of View because you get 2 free books. And then
I would say there is one story from A Certain Point of View that I just almost flat out skipped because how the narrator chose to do the opening voice, it was like nails on a chalkboard. It was so terrible. But anyway,
all right, we also have a 7-day free trial for CBS All Access where you can go watch Star Trek.
Ooh, nerd card. Hey, hand it over.
Where you can go watch Star Trek Discovery. Will Ferrell and Funny or Die also have a comedy that's come out recently. So head over to fandompodcast.com/CBS, sign up for that 7-day free trial. Or when you're doing your holiday shopping on Amazon, head over to fandompodcast.com/Amazon and we will get a little slice of that commission coming our way. So until next time,
by Grabthar's hammer, by the sons of Warven, you shall be avenged.
I'm the very model of a modern major general.
Nick, that's the wrong hammer and the wrong Avengers. Just saying. May the fandom be with you.